We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King.
And I'm Steve Minnick, and we'll be your facilitators for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life.
And if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free, 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300.
And if you're calling from outside the United States, you should use our U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Well, Kevin, let's just jump right in. You and I have had some very interesting conversations over the last week in preparation for today, and one of the things we're talking about is this whole idea of retirement. I mean, who set the magic number of 65?
Right. Well, obviously somebody did and legislated it, and that number keeps changing, but why would you retire if you love what you're doing?
Yeah. Or what if you hated what you were doing, and now that you have a steady stream of income from the work that you did for a lifetime, but you didn't really enjoy, well, now that you don't have to work for money, how about working for fun? How about working at something you're passionate about, or volunteering, or traveling, or something? I mean, you know, if you're going to travel, why not travel and do a travel log? Why not take a video camera with you and do a reality TV show? Do something with your life.
Right.
Don't
why
just
not invest
in front
the
of the
life.
TV and drink beers all day.
Right, exactly. At least throw in some wine every so often. No, I'm just joking.
Yes.
The point is that it's not just volunteering. That's great. Why are you doing what you're doing? I mean, I believe people I've talked to people that are so full of life, they said, it took me till I was 50 to figure out what I was doing. Now I know what I love doing, and this guy's in his 70s and 80s, and I've been doing it for 20 years, 30 years. Unfortunately, the most underused, undervalued segment in our society today in the United States is people that are over 60. In the Orient, we talked about this on Monday, in the Orient, in the East, if you're 60 years old, they'll start listening to you because you've had enough life events, you've had enough wisdom, that you've got something to actually say. In the United States, though, over 60, it's like, great, so when are you going to retire? What are you going to do? Are you going to go to your home in Florida and just live the good life and golf all the time? Well, maybe that's part of it, but the point is that what's the purpose? What exactly did you want to do? I mean, I don't think most people, when they were 12 and 13 and they were younger, maybe 5 and 6 and 7, didn't dream about, you know, walking around playing golf and having their bills paid. They had something else in mind, and that can change over time, but what is that thing? What is that thing worth getting up for in the morning? You know, now that your bills are paid, now what? Now that you're comfortable and in a warm climate and you don't have to shovel snow or you don't have to go to work every day or you don't have, you know, kids constantly that you're raising and you've got some, what is it that you want to do? And that's what we're about. We want to attract people to this because I literally believe we can have 100 people on this phone call every single week changing lives, massive change.
Those of us that are 50 and older really need to reclaim the ground we've given away. I mean, our society here in the United States glorifies and exalts youth. And as you said, in the Orient, their society honors the wisdom gained over a half a century. So do we really truly value experience in the United States? Not so much. You know, we want a better world for our kids and our grandkids. And we have to take charge and make that happen. You know, at some point, you have to realize that it's not about the money. So what is it about it? And a bigger question is, what's this Over 60 and Loving Life phone call all about? You know, aren't we really talking about valuing this wisdom and experience that we've gained over these 50-plus years? You know, I just had a conversation today with another gentleman, and I said, I want to live life so that I can die tomorrow or die when I'm 120 years old. That's how I want to live life. And you know, whichever one comes first, I'm fine with that. You know, let's live today as if today was the last day. Let's also live today as if we have another 60 years. I mean, we're at the halftime, right?
Right.
Now, I'm 63 years old. If I plan to live to be 120, I've got the second half of my life left to live. Well, how am I planning to live that life to the fullest right here and right now? Well, I certainly don't want aches and pains to hold me back, and I don't want loss of vision or hearing to keep me from clearly seeing the future for my children and my grandchildren. Now, I want to hear my family, my church, my community, my nation praising the accomplishments of second half citizens. You know, over here in Seattle, we have the Seahawks, and if you've watched the last two Super Bowl games, you know that you neither want to miss the last 2 or 3 minutes, because the Seahawks may either win or they might lose in the last two, three minutes. Well, yeah, but the point is, you know, show up. You know, don't just veg in front of the TV. This second half of our life can be one of the best times in our lives.
Right.
Maybe and we should call that, what we do, Kevin, shouldn't we be doing future financial planning, not retirement planning? You know?
Agreed.
I don't know where we came up with this idea that you have to stop working, you know, that we have to hate work and you know, that we have to it's frustrating to see that happen, because there are so many people that have so much wisdom. Mark Borsma recently reached out to some retired real estate individuals.
The presidents.
Professionals. They had, exactly. Share more about that, because you have more of the details, Kevin.
Yeah, Jim Gillespie, who's the recent past president of Coldwell Banker, had a conversation with Mark. I asked Mark, hey, how'd it go? He says, it was most interesting. It was very intriguing. He told me something I didn't necessarily expect to hear. I said, what was that? He said the average age of the realtor here in the United States is 56. 56, Steve. It means that the realtors are aging out unless something else is done. And one thing he asked Mark, he said, what we should do is go back to the colleges, and we should go back to young people and figure out how they buy, why they buy, implement that for the new for the new generation of realtors that are here. I mean, what an amazing opportunity. The fact is that some of them may not have money for that, but if we can help them save money, help them retire, not retire, but to plan for getting a house and to know that they've got something that is going to be long-term, it's going to be a game changer. In fact, we have Mark on the call right now. Mark Borsma, welcome to the phone call.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. I guess your ears were burning. We were just talking about Jim Gillespie. You were hearing that. What were some of the other insights, and what are some of the insights that you have now after that conversation in how we can reach people that are over 60 in long life and not only include them and value them, because they have massive, massive insights. They can help us leverage our time and our resources and our talents, our treasures, our trust, our truth. I mean, they can help us leverage everything in our life. How do you think we can do that, Mark? Did you come up with anything?
Well, I think I think for people under 60, I think we don't recognize the wealth of insight that they have. And in this society, because we don't really honor it, they don't really know that they have all of this. So they have like all this gold, and we don't know that they have the gold, and they don't know they have the gold, and it's like they can give insights. So I think if we're under 60, we need to recognize that. And if we're over 60, we need to recognize that, and then we need to stay young. I mean, I was talking to, you know, my good friend Dwight Goldwyn. He's going to be on, I think, one of the future weeks. He's 70, lives over in China. And it's intriguing. I mean, his, you know, so he's 70, and he says that he hangs around, he has a ton of friends in their 20s. And he says, what's interesting, Mark, is I'm younger at heart than they are. I mean, I'm teaching them how to be spontaneous, have fun, how to enjoy life. And he says, I tell them, I say, you know what, I'm younger than you in my heart. And so I think, you know, people, you know, at you know, nursing homes and, you know, retirement homes, and it's like my kids don't ever visit me, and you know, nobody ever comes around, and it's like, does anybody say to them, well, why not? I mean, why do you think it is nobody visits you? I mean, are you crabby? Are you cranky? Are you negative? I mean, are you thankful? Are you grateful? Or do they have to take, you know, a week to recover from their visit to you? And so when we look at what are we bringing something of value to the people around us, and I think under 60, we need to recognize, we need to draw it out of our parents, our grandparents. We need to draw it out because my mom, mid-70s, dad in mid-70s, they do not recognize the value that they have to other people and that they could have, and they don't know how to give that value. A lot of that generation, honestly, they just worked hard. They're hard workers. They worked with their hands, maybe with their minds and hands, but they never really worked at relationships, often many of them. Mm. So they don't know how to have relationships. I mean, I'd be interested in Karen's, in Karen's insight on it. Because she, you know, I honestly didn't know. I think she said she's over 60, but I didn't know she was.
Karen, you're on the call.
I certainly am. I will be 62 this year.
Congratulations, Karen.
Wow.
No, I've done a lot of work with hospice patients, which are not always over 60, but many of them are. And it's interesting the perspective that I've gathered from working with people that are in that phase of their life. And as a massage therapist, I go in and basically, if I can offer them a window of comfort, I can't change the outcome of their circumstance, but if I can offer them a window of comfort, it's amazing to me how it changes their mental outlook on the day when they know that I'm coming or whatever. I tend to have a pretty upbeat, composure and attitude and stuff, and that is contagious. And so, you know, it's a choice. It's always a choice. And so do we, and the conversations that I can engage in when you start to ask those people questions and you value who they are as a person and don't look at somebody that's just on their way out the door, if that makes sense.
That is excellent, Karen. You know, there are so many people that have had success after they were 60 years old. I was just the other day, I was looking up some information about some people that had success later in life. Of course, we all know about Colonel Sanders, but you may not realize that he did this Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken startup when he was 65 years old. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan was 70 years old when he became president, and he so changed the economy of that time that we have the term Reaganomics. Billionaire Carlos Slim, who's age 73, he is one of the richest people in the world, and he has argued that workers in developing countries are in their prime in their 60s. Yet here in the United States, we kind of give up on people after they're 60, 65 years old. And it really started fairly recently. I mean, it was back in the 30s where we had Social Security and, you know, the age that people were supposed to retire was 65. Well, who said that? Who said you have to retire? I mean, that's just that's just silliness. I don't plan on ever retiring. Now, there comes a time when you have to slow down a bit, but maybe that's just physically. But you could still be very active mentally. But I'm not even sure you have to slow much even physically. I have a very good friend and client who started bodybuilding when she was 50. She's now 60, and she is a world-class bodybuilder at 60 years old, and now she's mentoring and training women that are half her age in how they can compete in world championship bodybuilding. This is a 60-year-old. I mean, it's just amazing, and why not? Why not? Who's going to hold us back? Only ourselves.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. I had a massage client who was the first 80-year-old to ever finish an Ironman triathlon in Hawaii.
Good for her. That is
awesome. Yeah, it was actually him. And I remember we were monitoring it, and it was just so exciting to me. You know, he had to finish it before midnight that night, and I think he finished it around 20 minutes to midnight, but he finished it and was the first 80-year-old. And he's just like an ever-ready, you know, an ever-energizer bunny. He just goes and has more energy than you can imagine. So he's a real inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And
that's
why
amazing.
Not?
Teresa, you're on the call with us as well today, and what are your thoughts about what's been shared?
You know, I've enjoyed listening in. I think just what I'm taking from it, since this call is for people over and under 60, don't let age or physical capability determine what you can do or accomplish. It's pretty much what I'm
Absolutely.
Getting. So don't let preconceived notions of whether you're too young, too old, too frail, anything, hold you back in what you want to do.
So do you have any insights, Teresa? I'll just open it up to everybody on the call. Do you have any insights in a practical way of how, Mark, you had mentioned, you know, relationally maybe there wasn't as great an understanding or great a value. Maybe there was the value but not the tools to pull it off. Maybe personality masteries. Maybe they didn't understand that. Maybe they didn't understand business models. Maybe they didn't understand how to relate with people. Maybe they didn't understand natural laws. But how do you think there's some practical ways we can draw that out of people, have them relationally interact, have much more success in their life relationally and feel wanted and nurtured, and then be able to use that energy and that insight in helping us, help other people, help build businesses, help, you know, make a huge difference.
Was that directed to me, Kevin?
Yes, it was. It was, and then I want to get everybody's insights on that.
See, I think that individuals over 60 ought to go ahead and discover their life vision, what they were put on this planet to do. I mean, that simple exercise of drawing a circle, listing out everything you're passionate about. When I went ahead and first became a grandfather, and I'm 51, and so I've been a grandfather for 2.5 years now, and so, you know, I'm a young grandfather, and but before my first grandson was born, I'm like, man, I'm gonna be a great grandfather. I mean, I'm really gonna dig into this thing and figure it out. And I started asking all the, you know, grandparents, the grandfathers that I knew, I said, what suggestion would you give on being like the most amazing grandfather on the planet? And some of the suggestions I got back were just so intriguing to me. So I think that's another question that we are under 60, we ought to ask. We ought to ask every grandparent and say, what would be a suggestion that you would give to be an amazing grandparent? And one of those suggestions was from my Uncle Gary, and he said, Mark, tell your grandkids stories. And it's too long to go into the full science of that, but it's genius. It transcends, like, all generations. My 15-year-old son was sitting on the couch with my grandmother, who's 98 years old. And she says, so Ben, you know, tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life. And he's like, well, you know, school, grandma, you know, great grandma, and you know, I hang out with my friends, and she smiles at him, and she's just spry, 98 years old. And we got to get her on this call. I mean, she's an amazing woman, but she doesn't realize it. I mean, and she's like, so what do you, when you're hanging out with your friends, what do you talk about? And he looked at her, and he looked at me, and then he smiled and he blushed. And she looked at him and said, oh, Ben, I know what you talk about. You talk about girls and how, you know, how hard your parents are on you. 98 years old, she connected at a deep level with a 15-year-old. So she doesn't have an email account, but she can connect. She can connect with him through life stories. So when you have the passion circle and you see all the things you're passionate about, you're like, wow, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, I didn't know you were passionate about that. And so it helps to connect all generations together. That's what I would suggest.
Wow. That is, it's so simple. It's so simple. So why do you think we don't ask questions? Do we just not care?
I think we're unaware, Kevin.
Yeah.
I think. Go ahead, Steve.
I agree, Mark. We're not aware. We're just not aware. And that's one of the key things that we need to look at in our Over 60 and Loving Life phone call is creating an awareness and valuing. I think that's one of the cool things that you did, Mark, when you reached out to these real estate individuals, you know, heads of Century 21 and other big real estate companies. Not only how can we create an opportunity for younger real estate agents and also to connect with, you know, new home buyers, but valuing their expertise. And you just have to take time to, number one, look beyond your own circumstance and see the value in other people, but then ask them that question. We have become very accustomed to asking the question, you know, with all the things you've got going on in your business and personal life, what's your biggest challenge? I'm wondering if we need to ask a new question. You know, now that you're not having to work for an income each month, what is the thing that you'd like to share with people in your industry? What are some unique strategies or goals or wisdom that you want to share? How would you restate that question that we could ask, Mark?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is like for top, like really influential people, like worldwide leaders, that I have found it's like intriguing question. And it would work for anyone really over 50, probably. I mean, it works every time, but over 50 is really good. You say, you know, in the last, 10 years, like what are, you know, a couple of the most significant things that you've learned? Or if, like, my son has used this, a couple of my sons have used this when they're talking to, you know, people that are older, is if they're talking to somebody 60, like Tom Kuntz, like my 13 and 16-year-old son, have been mentored by him for, I don't know, about 6 years now, and they get on the call with him and say, you know, Mr. Kuntz, you know, you're 60 years old. When you were 16, like, what's something that you know now that you wished you knew when you were 16? That is like, I mean, it opens up a universe of understanding, and it really helps people that are over 60 really understand, listen, my best years are still in front of me. Like, when I'm on my deathbed, and I've got 24 hours left to live, or maybe 2 hours left to live, I believe those last 2 hours are going to be the best 2 hours I've ever had in my life, and I may accomplish more in those last 2 hours than I have my whole life combined. I think like that mindset that it's not that I don't have much time in the future. It's not that I have to just live the past. It's like in the moment with all of the experience that I have, what can I do to impact the lives of people around me? Wow.
That is some great stuff. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this and you're saying, wow, this was a most intriguing phone call, and if you've received some benefit from listening today, then we encourage you to go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net, and then go to what's your biggest challenge, and then go to your help is needed, and you'll be able to learn more about the Vision Project and even maybe contribute to the group-funded phone app.
And I highly recommend you should do that. We're so close to hitting a goal right now. It's only like $640 to hit our goal to get the first phase of this group-funded app going. You know, if you want to have the most impact and you're over 60 right now, maybe you just want to strike a check for $650 and just get it over with. Because you know what? It could totally change everything in your life. And you ask how that can do that? Well, go and find out. And